The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as Pastor Michaela mentioned in the children's message, one obvious theme from both of our appointed readings that we read in worship today is the theme of thankfulness or gratitude. Psalm 111 begins, "Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart." And then Luke 17 is a famous story of how 10 lepers encounter Jesus. Jesus cleanses them, he heals them, and famously, only one of them returns to do what? To say thank you. And so I have been focusing my attention over the last week on that theme of gratitude or thankfulness, and that has in turn got me thinking about one of my favorite authors, not C.S. Lewis this time. But someone who came just a few decades before him, a gentleman named G.K. Chesterton. I don't know if you can see his face, but this is Chesterton's autobiography. And I think I was thinking of Chesterton because of all the authors I know, he perhaps is one who just exudes gratitude. So much so that in this autobiography of his, towards the end of it, he writes this. All of these things, he says, specially affected one idea, which I hope it is not pompous to call the chief idea of my life. That is the idea of taking things with gratitude and not taking things for granted. I love that. Isn't that a beautiful sort of way to frame up your life? You have a version of that quote on the back of your bulletins. So again, Chesterton, the chief idea of his life, he would say, is the idea of taking things with gratitude and not taking things for granted. So I want to say a couple of things about gratitude this morning. One of them actually also because of G.K. Chesterton, and that's something that I hope helps us feel a little more confident in our own faith, less defensive about our faith in a culture that is suspicious and cynical of faith. And then I'm going to lift up an example of what gratitude looks like in the life of this congregation. So the first one, again, the idea here is that we live in a culture that in some ways faith has been evacuated from culture. I would say we live in a culture that's largely atheistic. And as a result of that, I think that Christians often feel defensive about our faith. And I was thinking about this again because of my good friend G.K. Chesterton. This is another book of his. It's a small but very important biography of St. Francis of Assisi. And I was looking at a variety of quotes about gratitude, and indeed there is a quote about how gratitude was the whole point or the very rock of reality for Assisi. And then on the next page, there's this, and this is what got me thinking about this first point I want to make, where Chesterton says, "The worst moment for the atheist is when he is really thankful and has nobody to thank." Isn't that good? The worst moment for the atheist is when he is really thankful and has nobody to thank. And so on this front, it is my sense And it's my experience, actually, that again, in our cynical, suspicious, jaded culture where faith has been evacuated from it, atheists will often say to Christians, well, you say, dear Christian, that you worship and believe in a good and loving God, but bad things happen in the world, and therefore that God cannot exist. I don't believe in that God. Now, in fairness, that's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate critique. And by the way, it turns out that in 2,000 years, it will not surprise you, there are thoughtful, reasonable, coherent responses to that. I'm not going to get into them this morning. The point I want to make is, again, that when we hear that kind of critique from our atheist friends, you know, you claim that God is good and yet bad things happen, our tendency, I think, as Christians is to get on our heels and to feel defensive and to feel like, wow, that's kind of a good point. Maybe my faith isn't as strong as I thought it was. What I want to suggest to you this morning is that whenever there's a critique of Christianity, there's almost always equal and opposite critique of the atheist position, okay? So in this case, and by the way, I'm not suggesting you leave church this morning and pick a fight with an atheist, all right? That's not my point. My point really is to allow you in your own heart to feel more confident about this faith that we share. So again, when an atheist says you worship a good and loving God and yet bad things happen, rather than being defensive about that, we could, if we chose to, turn it back on the atheist and say, well, you believe that our entire existence is the result of chaotic, random chance. And by the way, therefore, it would be totally reasonable to think that the world is nothing but chaos. And yet, there is goodness and truth and beauty, and there's joy and love. So, my dear atheist friend, how do you explain that? How do you explain that when we see a mountain range or a beautiful setting sun, how do you explain how moved we are by that? Or how do you explain when we encounter an old friend we haven't seen for years, we get a lump in our throat? Or how do you explain when we see a beautiful piece of art or listen to a beautiful piece of music, tears stream down our face? If this is purely the result of chaos and random nothingness, why do those kind of beautiful, good, true things happen? Can I get an amen to that? All right, so that's my first point. Again, it's not, don't go out and pick a fight with an atheist necessarily. But the Christian position is far more intellectually coherent and reasonable than we often give it credit for, even as Christians. So that's the first point. The second point, again, is an example of what gratitude looks like. In this case, it's from an individual here at St. Philip the Deacon. I have permission to share this story. And again, culturally, I think that the culture looks at Christians and let's say as it relates to gratitude, says, oh, well, you Christians are a bunch of Pollyannas. You don't really understand how painful and hard life really is. You know, you're just sort of blinding yourself. You're looking at the world through rose-colored glasses and saying you're thankful, even though life is filled with pain and grief and difficulty. To which I would say, nonsense. Anyone ever read this book, the Bible? It's about the most honest book in the world. And the Psalms, which I quoted from before, are incredibly honest about the wide range of human emotions. So I have permission again to share this story. It's of a man here at St. Philip the Deacon whose wife died this past year. He's about my age. When she died, two of their children were in high school, one was in college. And this past week would have been their 31st anniversary, wedding anniversary. And so he posted a beautiful reflection on social media, which ended with this. It was quite long, but very powerful, and it ended with this. Grief has a way of, and by the way, this reinforces my point, that Christians know about pain. We know about grief. A posture of gratitude isn't because we're blind to it, okay? He wrote, grief has a way of stirring up both the good and the painful emotions, fond memories, laughter and love, but also regrets and the ache of what will never be. Today, I chose to focus on the good. The laughter, the quirky jokes, the dancing, the music, her beautiful smile, her love and devotion to me and the kids, her kindness. I could go on and on. We were so blessed to have her in our lives. I was especially blessed to have her as my wife. I mean, this is someone who has suffered great grief and pain in the last year, and yet is choosing to look at the world through the lens of gratitude, right? So I wrote to him and I said, hey, that was a beautiful post. I'm not quite sure what I'm gonna be saying this weekend, but if I choose to, could I use some of that in my message? And he responded back to me and said, absolutely, I didn't realize it would touch people. I got a lot of wonderful messages of love and support. It really lifted me up. People are so kind. Now, do you see what happened there? He puts his first post out there, choosing to be grateful. And that, in turn, has a sort of knock-on effect of allowing him to continue to be even more grateful. It's like that flywheel effect, right? I just thought that was beautiful, which reminds or brings us back to the gospel. So again, 10 lepers are clean, cleansed, made, they're healed. One returns. And if you read the narrative here, what you discover is that the one who returns and says what? Thank you. Who not only sees what has happened, but gives thanks for it. By the end of the story here, it's not just that he's been cleansed, sort of medically, it's not just that his skin condition has been healed, but in some mysterious way, he has also been changed even more deeply. So again, he returns to Jesus, he says, thank you. And at the very end, Jesus says to him, get up and go on your way, your faith has made you well. Not just, that's a different Greek word, not just cleansed, but well. Other words for that could be translated, your faith has saved you. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you whole. So my prayer for us, my dear brothers and sisters, today is that like that leper and like that gentleman from this congregation, we will not only be able to see all that God has done for us, but that we will have the strength and courage and the wisdom to say to God, thank you. So let's pray about that. Good and loving God, we call you our healer and our savior. We pray today that you will open our eyes to all of the ways you have healed us, all of the ways you have saved us, and all of the ways you continue to heal and save us. And we pray that you would help us to say thank you, not only for our own sakes, but so that living lives of gratitude, we may share your love with a hurting world. And all this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.